Good morning. We're so glad that you have chosen to be with us for the Word for Life radio ministry this morning. I trust that you're having a good day, whether you're sitting there with a cup of coffee, maybe on your way to work, or possibly you've already arrived at work. Thank you so much for choosing to be with us. It's always a joy to have folks visiting with us in the studio to be able to share what God has done in their life, who God is to them, and how God has just shown himself strong in various ways. Well, this morning, we have Dave Rudig, one of the members of our church, with us. And Dave, good to have you with us today.
Thank you.
And Dave shared his testimony with some of our folks here at the church a while back, and we just thought this is something that would be a blessing to you folks who are listening to us this morning. And so, Dave, I'll turn it all over to you, just let you share what God has done in your life.
Thank you. I'm a consulting civil engineer, partially retired. Most folks that are seniors like us have some limiting physical condition. Mine is myositis. It's an autoimmune disease in the same family as muscular dystrophy and ALS. It slowly destroys the muscles in your legs and arms until you can no longer walk, you can't climb stairs or even get out of chairs. You lose the grip in your hands. There's no cure and there's no treatment. You don't get better over time, you only get worse. 3 years ago, I was still walking outdoors over 3 miles a day. Now I rarely can get out of my house, and I need a walker or a wheelchair when I do. However, I'm a born-again Christian as of September 2014. If it wasn't for myositis, I probably would have not given any thought at all to spiritual things. God gets our attention with things like this.
Yes, he does.
Some people ignore these wake-up calls. But in my case, God brought me to the place where I could no longer go on without acknowledging his authority. It took the onset of this disease to get me to finally face my spiritual condition. Myositis takes away your strength, your independence, and your confidence. You become dependent on everybody around you. As a former engineering executive, I was proud of my worldly accomplishments. I was accustomed to being in control of people and situations. I've held public elective office and was a member of several community groups and charities. Before we moved to Milwaukee, I was active in churches also, teaching adult Bible classes for almost 20 years, among other church offices. Being impressed with ourselves is what the phrase, the pride of life, means in 1 John. I knew about Jesus, but in my heart I felt like I had no relationship with him. I'm sure that people would describe me as contentious, self-absorbed, vindictive, demanding. I tolerated very little margin of error in conduct and in results. Certainly not a people person, and not somebody who showed a lot of Christian values. But I grew up in a Bible-believing church where we heard the gospel preached every week. I made professions of faith as a child and then again as a young man. I prayed, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner," hundreds of times, but I never felt that it took. After two bad falls that frightened me last August, I knew I couldn't control my own circumstances any longer, and it was well past the time to resolve my spiritual issues, assuming that I still could. I finally invited Pastor Huffman here for a home visit and to ask him some questions. My faith last year was almost non-existent. And my primary question was, why hadn't all these sincere prayers for salvation that I made, why hadn't they ever worked? Pastor said it wasn't too late for God to accept me as long as I was still convicted about my spiritual condition.
Right.
And I was. The answer to the question, though, that he told me was that I had never repented. Repentance is not only agreeing with God that I'm a sinner and can't self-justify my sinful nature before a holy God. It's resolving with God's help to head in a different direction, toward the Lord, and then casting off my pride, and then actually heading in that new direction.
Right.
For me, what that meant was surrendering my own stubborn will and my unbelief to God and allowing Jesus to control my life. My prayer of repentance was answered. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, though he's polishing off the rough edges of a lifetime of worldliness day by day. Before last year, I held grudges toward people, and I had bitterness about many things in my personal life, and the Lord took them all away.
Amen.
Praying was something that I dismissed as nothing but an exercise that makes you feel better. Now, after this has happened, the Lord has been faithful to answer so many of my prayers, I can't count them all.
That's great. Amen.
Things that were part of my lifestyle no longer fit. First, God saves us. Then he changes us to be fit for his service. Not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in phase two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's my concern about seniors like us. Many of us may be going through life right now hoping, like I did, that something had happened long ago, like a baptism or a first communion, or what we may have promised God way back when we were kids, when we really didn't understand spiritual things, that somehow those things will count to get us into heaven. Or maybe that the good in our lives somehow outweighs the bad. We may have given loved ones, friends, ministers at our churches the impression that, of course, we're Christians. Why wouldn't we be? We've been coming to church for years, faithfully mm-hmm. attending the services, helping out now and then, giving our offerings. We may try to sound religious when we talk to other church people, but once in a while, way down inside, there's a pang in our hearts that longs for a do-over. If I hadn't given everybody the impression that I was saved, maybe I could respond to an invitation. Maybe I could just say it to myself, maybe keep it to myself. Maybe that'll be good enough. My thought is, at our age, time is running out. I had to face my silent rebellion against God. Are you uncomfortable when somebody talks about spiritual things and how God changed their life? I was.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to church mostly to be around the friends you've made there? I did. Do you go to church to feel good inside once a week? Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really believe that you're a pretty good person and not one of those bad, unclean, profane sinners around you where you work or live? Well, I'll tell you what, I am one of those same unclean, profane sinners you may have met. I was going my own way through life. If Jesus is kind of a remote person, or if the idea of Jesus is kind of a fuzzy idea, and your day-to-day focus is on everything else, that was me.
Okay.
It's not wrong to think of others and family, but God wants first place. If you feel as if God never answers your prayers and you need other people to pray for you when you're sick or in trouble, that was like me too.
Right.
I was holding on to my worldliness and my pride. I was impressed with myself and my successes. Except that God can take everything away from us in an instant. Needing to be saved at any age is difficult for anybody to admit, but it's especially hard for us grandmas and grandpas. We're supposed to be an example. Telling my family and my grandkids what happened to me now and how I finally made a decision to come to the Lord at 71 years of age, well, that was not easy. You see, my family thought or assumed that I had to be a born-again Christian all along, just not a very good one. Down inside, I knew better. Please don't think that you can't take a public step of faith now at your age. That's pride again. This is life and death stuff. Either Jesus is real and he sacrificed himself on the cross and died for my sins, then rose from the dead to seal it forever, or he's not real and that's just a story.
Mm-hmm.
For my part, I know now that he's real and he died a terrible death in my place as the only possible payment for my sinful nature. Nobody can do enough good things to overcome their own sinfulness, and that's what the Bible teaches us. I've repented, and I've asked the Lord to take over my life. Yes, Pastor, I've still got myositis.
Yep.
And yes, it's a bad thing. But I know that Jesus Christ is alive and that he loved me enough to save even me. Even as restricted as I am now with this disease physically, Jesus still has something for me to do.
So, Dave, what I'm hearing you say is that occasionally as you went to church, maybe you heard a testimony, a message, whatever, there was a twinge, a bit of conviction.
Absolutely.
Like,
I don't want them to talk about this.
Right. This is not good. How quickly can we get out of here? Kind of a thing. And I guess what I'm hearing you say is that it's probably not that uncommon in a lot of people.
Well, I don't know. I think it is, and I think it's more common among seniors than maybe any of us would admit.
Right, right. Because so often we can go back to maybe, like you said, prayers when we were little kids. You know, we tried, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I guess you said that a lot of times, didn't you?
I did. I mean, a lot of services end with a pastor that says, pray along with me as I pray this prayer. And
right.
I always would do that.
Right, right.
But nothing ever happened.
Nothing changed.
No, nothing really changed.
Right. And would you say that that aspect of your inner life, knowing that nothing changed, began to really command your attention as your years went on?
I would say so, but I would say that contracting this disease 5 years ago and getting to the point where I can't do for myself anymore,
I can't walk,
and I need people all around me. I mean, clearly that circumstance is out of control.
Yeah.
And I'm used to being in control.
Okay.
And when you have that experience and you know that it's not going to change and it's not going to get better, my case, I began to think to myself, well, what about the spiritual side, you know?
And I'm so thankful that that did come into your mind, because I'm thinking of the verse in Matthew 7 where Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not? And then he goes on to talk about the various things that they did in the name of the Lord. And the Lord's response was, I never knew you.
Right. And that verse, or those series of verses, was very convicting to me, because I had done a lot of things
right,
in church.
Right, exactly.
And I was part of church leadership and in Bible-believing Christian churches.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you cast out demons in the Lord's name, like it says in this verse, that's not good enough.
Right, right. And it even goes on to say, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Those are miracles.
Is that what that means?
Yeah, that's what that is. So casting out demons and miracles, if that's not good enough, you're kind of saying, what in the world is? But I think the key is, it goes back to, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And a verse that explains that is over in John 6 and verse 40. And it says, every man that wants to do the will of my Father is believing on him that sent me. So it's the belief that is doing the will of the Father.
Right.
So when we begin to understand that, and that's exactly where you finally came, of realizing, believing and repenting. And next time we get together with our folks who are listening to us this morning, we're going to be talking about that repenting part.
Good.
Because that's the part that just didn't seem to click until last year.
And that's the winning difference.
That's it. Folks, be sure to join us in a couple of days as we continue this conversation with Brother Dave Rudig, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you as well as to us. God bless you.